إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله فما بعد فقال تعالى فلولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم وأنتم حينئذ تنظرون ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون. My dear brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu bless you and bless this gathering, which is for the purpose of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and our meeting with Him. And that's why the title of this reminder is the joy of connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The meeting with Allah jalla jalaluhu is haqq. The meeting with Allah is haqq. The meeting with Allah is the truth. The meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will happen. It is a reality, and my definition of reality is a reality is something that does not depend on belief for its existence. A reality is that which does not depend on belief for its existence. A reality is something that exists by itself. Whether anybody believes it or not, it does not make any difference to the reality. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالُوا وَإِذَا ضَلَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ بَلْ هُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ كَافِرُونَ قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they say, the people who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people who deny the Day of Judgment, the people who deny resurrection, they say that how is it possible that we will be buried in the ground and our bodies will disintegrate and they will become one with the soil, and then still we will be resurrected, we will be created anew, we will be recreated, created again, given life again. How is this possible? And Allah says, بَلْهُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ كَافِرُونَ. These are the people who deny the meeting with their Rabb. Alhamdulillah, we are not among them. We do not deny the meeting with our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. But as I said, it's a reality. Whether somebody denies the meeting or somebody does not deny the meeting is what will happen. So there are two ways of meeting Allah. One is to meet Allah because this is the reality, it will happen. And the other one is to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the shauq of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking forward to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this also. Allah said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. Allah mentioned the people who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is teaching us the way of how to make this meeting a meeting of reality and a meeting of goodness for us. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah said the best example for the people is the example of my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And this is for whom? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ. The one who looks forward to the meeting with Allah. Allah did not say this is for the one who will meet Allah, because everybody will meet Allah. The one who denies Allah will meet Allah. The one who makes shirk and joins partners with Allah will also meet Allah. the one who is a mu'min and may Allah count us among them will also meet Allah. Everybody will meet Allah. Allah is not mentioning that. Allah is saying Yarjullah. The one who looks forward to meeting with Allah. The one who wants to meet Allah. What do you look forward to? We look forward to things that we like. We look forward to things and situations and meetings about which we believe that the outcome will be good. We look forward to meeting our dear friends because you say, okay, when I go there, I'm going to meet this person and this person and this person. I've not met them for a long time. I would like to meet them because when I meet them, I will be very happy. They will be happy to see me. I'll be happy to see them. And alhamdulillah, as I was saying to Sheikh Abu Uthman, it feels that when I come to Kuwait, it's like I come home, alhamdulillah. And his masjid, mashallah, in Masjid al-Uthman is like my home. Every time I come there, first Jummah is in that masjid. It feels like, you know, it feels like you belong there. It's not nothing, no stranger. Yarjullah. What is our belief about meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah said, for whom is the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the best example? The people who look forward to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal yawm al akhirah. People who look forward to the yawm al akhirah. Now imagine, yawm al akhirah is the one about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in Juz Amma, but also in many other places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned yawm al akhirah in some very frightening ways. Al-qariyatu wal-qari, al-haqqatu wal-haqqa, and so on and so on. But Allah is saying there are people, despite all of this, who are waiting for this day, who look forward to this day. Who will look forward to the day? The one who has the best belief about that day. The one who looks forward to this day because that day I am going to get what I want. And what is it you want? I want to meet Allah Jalla Jalalu. And that is the day when I will meet my Rabb Jalla Jalalu. Yarju Allah wal yawm al akhir. So there are two ways to meet Allah. One way is to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In any case, everybody will meet. And the other way is to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a result of our desire to meet Him Jalla Jalalu. So now the issue is that how do we get there? My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu mentioned there are two things, there are two words in English. I don't know about Arabic, but in Urdu and Hindi and so on, we don't have two words for this. The two words in English, one is the word look and the other one is the word see. Look and see. Now apparently they mean the same thing, but they don't mean the same thing. They're two different words. Look is merely to look like that camera. My brother is taking photographs. The eye of the camera sees. The eye of the camera, he's a young man, so alhamdulillah, inshallah, his eyesight is good. But even if I took and I take photographs, that's my hobby is wildlife photography. So and I need glasses to see. But the camera sees absolutely clearly, much clearly than I would see with my own eyes. So that is looking. But seeing, how is it different from looking? Seeing is what happens when what you look at produces an effect. Seeing is what happens when what you look at produces an effect. The camera takes a picture of a lion. This is one of the photographs I have taken of a lion. Is literally I was sitting in the jeep, open-sided jeep, and the lion was sitting where you are sitting. This far, maybe 6 feet, 8 feet away. But the lions in Africa, at least, they don't like junk food, so I was not in any danger. So you know, he was. So when I took the photograph of this lion, the camera took the picture. To use these two words, the camera looked and I saw. Because the camera has no feeling, the camera is a machine. But when I am looking at this lion, I am looking at the lion here, and I say, I'm thinking to myself, you know, lions don't like junk food, but maybe this lion thinks that, why not try it and see, maybe I will like it. There are times you want to be liked, and there are times you very consciously do not want to be liked. Being liked by everybody is not a good thing. It's a good thing to be disliked by. Looking and seeing. Why am I saying that? I am saying this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu in His Kalam told us to see. اِقْرَى بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقُ. Allah said, read. In the name of your Rabb who created everything. Read. What is the meaning of read? It means see. It means take the message from the thing that you are looking at. I usually give two examples to illustrate. One example I give is traffic lights. Imagine that you bring a person who lives in a very remote village somewhere who's never seen traffic lights. And this is not a far-fetched thing. There are people, I mean, at least in my country, there are people who live in such villages, far away, and the whole life they spend in the village, they don't go out anywhere. So if you bring that person to Mumbai, or bring the person to Delhi, or Kuwait, or wherever, and you know, he sees all these fancy traffic lights, it's quite possible the person might think that, oh, this is a very nice country, you know, all of these roads are so beautifully illuminated, and you've got a red light, and a green light, and an orange light, and so on, lights are flashing, it looks nice, very nice decoration. Now, when that person is looking at the traffic light and I am looking at the traffic light, in terms of looking, there is no difference. He is also seeing the same lights, I am also seeing the same lights. But is there a difference in perception? I am bringing in a third word. Is there a difference in perception? Yeah, what is the difference? I know what the traffic light means. I know what the traffic light means. He is looking at the lights, I am seeing the lights. I know the light has a meaning. When the light is red, it means something. When the light turns green, it means something else. I'll give you another example, since there are several IT guys sitting here. May Allah save you from that experience. But supposing you open your laptop and you start it, and you see a beautiful screen, this color, maybe blue, you know, very nice, lovely blue screen. What will you say? You will say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Now somebody else says, Arek, well, why are you saying that? And normally the screen is black, this is such a nice blue screen, it's, you know, so nice, decorative. Blue screen is death. And if you didn't back up your data, then even you died, because in this world today, without your data, you are as good as dead. Looking and seeing. The person who understands that knows that this is not decoration, this is a bad news, this is very bad news, this means the computer has crashed or is about to crash. But the person who does not know what the sign means, yeah, okay, so screen is blue, so what? Why are you getting so excited? Looking and seeing. To give you a third example, I don't want to spend my whole evening giving you that, but just to illustrate. You see a person who comes into the masjid and you say, Mashallah, he, you know, this guy used to be very skinny and so on, and now he is looking very healthy. Huh? And you say, MashaAllah. And your friend who is a physician, he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. You say, what? Why did you say that? He says, that is a sign of the fact that he has kidney failure. That's water retention in his body. That's not a sign of health. He is potentially in serious trouble. He should go and get himself a renal checkup, because more than likely his kidneys are failing or have failed or about to fail. And this is the sign of water retention in the body. His body is just swelling up. It is not a sign of health. As far as looking is concerned, both you and the physician, you saw the same thing, yes? He doesn't have X-ray vision or something. How does he say what he said? Because we look with our eyes, we see with knowledge. We do not see with our eyes, we see with knowledge. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, La ta'amal absar. وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah said, they are not blind because their eyes do not see. It is the hearts which are blind, the hearts in their chest. It is the heart which is blind. Now today we know that even the hearts have neurons, and so therefore a heart is a seat of intelligence and so on. But leave that aside. The point is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what He created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it is the heart which is blind. Why is Allah saying the heart is blind? Because there is no effect of seeing, of looking at things. So what are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to look at? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily in the creation of the heavens and the earth, there are signs for people of intelligence. What is the first example I gave you of looking and seeing? Traffic lights. What is a traffic light? It's a sign. Who is the person who looks at a traffic light? The one who looks at it and thinks that this is decoration. Who is the one who sees the traffic light? The one who looks at it and knows what it means. He understands that. People of understanding are people who can read the signs. They can read the signs. So what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us? Allah says there are signs in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the day and the night. For whom? For people of understanding. Al-ulil albab, people of intelligence. And who are they? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the sequence of teaching and learning in the Quran. This is one of the many crimes that we have committed to this deen. May Allah protect us, where we have fractured our teaching and learning. We teach the kitab of Allah as if there is no creation. And we teach about the creation as if there is no creator. We have separated and fractured knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us how to teach. Alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim wa yatafakkarun. Allah did not say aw yatafakkarun. Wa yatafakkaruna fi khalqi samawati wal ard. Allah said, who are the people of understanding and intelligence? These are the people who first and foremost recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, sitting and lying down. Meaning what? Does it mean they walk around with the tasbih in their hands? No. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means constantly living in a state of dhyan, in a state of awareness, in a state of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Every living moment, every waking moment, the person is aware of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in his heart. This is the situation about which when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about al-ihsan in the famous hadith Jibreel, what did he say? An ta'bud Allah ka annaka tara fa illam takun tara fa innahu yarak. It was the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that whenever he was asked about anything, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam usually gave the example of salah. Not because whatever he said was to be restricted to salah, but because salah is the head of the matter, and whatever we do in salah is translated into the rest of our lives. Jibreel alayhi salam's question was what? His question was, what is ihsan? Did he say, what is ihsan in salah? He didn't ask this question. He said, what is ihsan? In what? In life. وَمَا الْحَسَنِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He said, what is the ihsan ya Rasulullah? He didn't say, is it ihsan in salah? No. Then why is the Nabi giving the example of salah? Because that was his way. Salah is the meter by which you judge everything else. And he said, what? Ihsan is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu as if you can see Him. And though you cannot see Him, know that He sees you. So now, I finished my salah, I go out into the parking lot. Somebody has blocked my car. Because this is the way of Muslims. May Allah protect us. This is the only one single point because of which any time, any country in the world, somebody, the Muslim community wants to build a masjid, there is a protest. And we say all of these Americans and these Australians and these Britishers and this one and that one, they are all anti-Islam, anti-Muslim. No, they are anti-bad parking. They are not anti-Muslim, anti-Muslim and anti-Islam. They are anti-bad parking. They say Muslims are the only people. You put a masjid here, these are the people who will park his car opposite my driveway and block my driveway. So when I want to come home, I can't come home because he's parked his car across my driveway. Nobody does that. Christians don't do that. You can put a church here, they will park decently. Hindus don't do that. You can build a temple here, they will park decently. But Muslims, so sorry, no masjid. Goodbye. Single point agenda. I travel all over the world. I go everywhere. Everywhere it is the same situation. Nothing else. And wallahi, till today we have not changed. So may Allah protect us from this kind of behavior which just gives a bad impression everywhere. Right? So the point is that the issue of reading the signs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, who are the people of intelligence? The people who remember Allah. So now he prayed salah, he goes outside. He finds somebody has blocked his car. So now what does he do? What does his heart tell him to do? What does his normal instinct tell him to do? His normal instinct tells him to do is open your boot of the car, take out a hockey stick and smash this fellow's car. Start with the headlights, go all the way to the taillights, smash everything. Does he do that? He does not do that. Why? أَنْتَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. I just worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if I can see Him. Allah is now seeing me. So what do? I stand there peacefully. I go and look for the person. If I can find him, well and good. If I'm in a hurry, I call a Uber and take a cab and go home. If I'm not in a hurry, I wait there, let the brother come. Nicely, without insulting him, I tell him, brother, please move the car. Is it easy to do that? It's not easy. It is not easy. It's very difficult. But why does he do it? Al-Ihsan. Al-Ihsan. I have to meet Allah. Al-Ihsan. He goes home. He finds that the food that his wife puts on the table doesn't taste too nice. He's got too much of this and too much of that, or too little of this and too little of that, and so on and so forth. So what does he do? He takes the plate and imagines that he is on the beach and this is a frisbee. Does he do that? No. What does he do? He reminds himself, who is Ar-Razzaq Dhul Quwwatil Matin? My wife? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How can my wife put food on the table? How can she put food on the table? What has come on the table in my plate? Who actually put it there? This is the meaning of antabudallaha fakarnaka tara. Who put the food on this plate? My wife? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Poor woman, what can she do? She does not have the power to take away one grain or put one grain more. Who put this food on the table? The one who said, Inna Allah huwa ar-Razzaq Dhul Quwwatil Matin. Hey. So what does he do? He said, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Allah, you gave me this. You want me to eat this? Wallah. Mahmud al-Ghaznavi, the king of Ghazni, he had his favorite slave. I mean, the man was a slave that Mahmud Ghazni freed him, and then he became his greatest friend and his minister and so on, and his name was Ayaz. So one day in Ghazni, on top of, in the evening, in the summer, Mahmud and Ayaz were sitting. Then Mahmud was sitting on the chair and Ayaz was sitting on the ground. And they were talking, and Mahmud had a cucumber. and he was cutting this cucumber, pieces of cucumber, and he would cut a piece and he would give it to Ayaz, and Ayaz would eat the cucumber. And he was talking, he was talking, and he kept on, you know, cutting pieces of the cucumber, and he kept on giving them to Ayaz. So Ayaz ate this whole cucumber until the last piece was in the hand of Mahmood, and then Mahmood realized, oh, you know, I'm giving this to him. The idea was to eat something also. So Mahmood takes that last piece of cucumber and he put it in his mouth, and you know, sometimes cucumbers are extremely bitter. So this cucumber was like poison. It was so bad, it was not fine. Mahmood took one bite of the cucumber, he spat it out, he threw the knife, and he said to Ayaz, I gave you the whole cucumber. You didn't say anything. This is like poison. How did you eat it? This is so bad. It is so nasty and bitter. How did you eat this cucumber? You know what he said? He said, my king, I was so conscious about who was giving it. I was so conscious about who was giving it, that what it tasted like was, that didn't even occur to me. He said, I'm getting this from the hand of the king. What it tastes like is immaterial. Who cares? Who cares? The honor of getting this from you, eh? You are giving it. What is the meaning of Inna Allaha huwa ar-razzaqu dhul quwwatil matin, Surah Al-Zariyat? Allah is saying, verily and truly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is ar-razzaq, not raziq, ar-razzaq. Dhul quwwatil matin, he feeds with his strength, with his power. So who put the feed of food on your table? You're talking about the joy of connecting with Allah. This is the meaning of it. This is the meaning of it. يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقْعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. What does it mean? This is what it means. Every waking moment, he goes to office, he sees something, he sees the sign of Allah. Wallah, this is my Rabb. Every good thing, he says, Alhamdulillah. Every difficult thing, he smiles and says, Alhamdulillah. You say, Alhamdulillah? Why? Because my Rabb gave it. Bitter cucumber. Who cares? Who cares? I'm so conscious of where I got it from. What it tastes like is immaterial. What it tastes like is immaterial. A sweet cucumber or sweet something, you can go and buy it in the shop and eat it. Can you buy getting it from the hand of the king? You can't buy that. And then what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? What is the connection between the two? Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, sitting and lying down. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And who are these people? Intelligent and people understanding? And they are the people who, from this foundation of recognizing Allah, they then do research in the creation. From this foundation, they do research in the creation. I don't know how many of you have seen the latest Planet Earth 2, BBC's serial, documentary. The new one has come out, Planet Earth 2. See the planet, see Planet Earth 1 and then see Planet Earth 2. It's pure zikrullah. Pure zikrullah. And why it is zikrullah is also because it is a matter of great ibrat. Because Sir David Attenborough, who is the narrator of this, is not a Muslim. And as far as I know, the man is probably an atheist. Wallah alam. And as I watch this thing, I think to myself, Wallah, how can I thank my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu for giving me eyes which don't look, but which we see? And that applies to every one of you. It's not only me. Every Muslim has eyes which see, which do not look. Don't only look, they see. Because we see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And David Attenborough, who's seeing those signs, far more closely than you and I are seeing, is unable to see them. He's only still looking at them. He does not recognize his creator in those signs. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you remember and you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and then if you do scientific teaching and learning and discovery and invention and research, what will happen? رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاتِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, you have not created this in vain. Oh Allah, this is not a waste of time. This is not an accident. It didn't just happen. You created this for a purpose. And with a purpose, and immediately the person connects back to himself and he looks at the meeting with Allah, which we began with, that meeting with Allah. Allah, faqina azab an-nar. Allahumma ajirna min an-nar. Allah, save us from the fire. So how do you develop this shauq? How do we develop this desire to meet Allah? We develop this desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu by, in the same way as we develop any other expertise in anything. And that is by correct practice. This is one of the mistaken impressions that we have, where we believe that Iman comes by birth. I'm born in the home of a Muslim, my name is Abdullah or Abdurrahman or whatever it is, and therefore I'm Muslim. No. Iman comes just like strength comes, just like knowledge of anything comes, just like expertise in anything comes, all the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rules are the same in everything. And what is that rule? The rule is, you have to work for it. You have to work for it. With one benefit, which is that when you work for, to move towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in this. That is not true for other things. For other things, you get in relation to what you, effort you make. With the issue of deen and with the issue of iman and yaqeen, you get more than what effort you make. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the person walks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when the person walks towards me, I run towards him. So barakah. But Allah did not say, even if the person does not do anything, I will still run towards him. No. First step we have to take, effort we have to make. What is that effort? At the most fundamental level, two things. One is to fulfill the faraid. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made fard, we fulfill this and we do it completely. We fulfill the faraid. So, the first of that is we do not make shirk. And after that it is Salah, and then there is Sawm, there is Zakat, there is Hajj, and so on. Whatever is Fard, fulfill the Faraid. Number two is, earn and eat Halal. That is the meaning of Taqwa. Taqwa is to avoid the doubtful. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave what is doubtful for what is not doubtful. So, fulfill the faraid. Second one is, earn halal, eat halal. If you have a doubt, don't touch it. Clarify the doubt. Alhamdulillah, if it is halal, eat it. If that means of earning is halal, by all means do it. If when you inquire, you find that it is not halal, leave it. But until you find out, don't touch it, because there is danger. Unknowingly, if you do something, it might be haram. Then what happens? You've already eaten that, you've already earned that. So instead of that, if there is a doubt, immediately clarify the doubt. After that, by all means, do what is correct. So, fulfilling the faraid, earning and eating halal. Once you do these two things, third one is follow the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To connect with Allah means that you love Allah and you want Allah to love you. Yes or no? And if you want Allah to love you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear. Allah did not leave this as a great mystery that you have to solve. I am searching for God. People say this, they think they are very spiritual. There's no need to search for God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you how to find Him. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to these people who say that they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make my ittiba. Remember, He did not say, do my ita'at. Ita'at is fard. Ita'at is fard. Not to do ita'at, to disobey Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is haram. To do it deliberately is kufr. He's talking about ittiba. What is ittiba? How is ittiba different from ita'at? Ita'at means to obey. In order to obey, there has to be a command to obey. Yes or no? There has to be a command to obey. For example, supposing I tell you, obey the command to pray Salatul Fajr. You say, yes, of course. So I say, now do it now. So how can I do it now? There is no Salatul Fajr now. I just finished praying Isha. At the time of Salatul Fajr, I play Fajr. I am not denying that. But right now, there is no command. The order to pray Fajr is not applicable at this time. This is now 8 o'clock in the night. There is no time for Fajr. Now at the time of Salatul Fajr, when the timing for Salatul Fajr comes, when the Adhan is called, then if you are sleeping or you don't pray, then you are disobedient. But until the command happens, you are not disobedient. Nobody can say you are disobedient because the order is not there. Yes? This is the meaning of ita'at. Ita'at is to obey an order, obey an instruction, obey a request. But what is ittiba? And remember, Allah did not use the term ita'at. Allah used the term ittiba. What is ittiba? Ittiba is imitation. Ittiba is emulation. Some of you are wearing cricket and football shirts. Why? Why? If you are wearing an Arsenal shirt, did the team send the shirt to you as a gift? Please advertise for us. Please wear this shirt. Did they do that? How did you get the shirt? You didn't steal it, obviously. And Arsenal didn't gift it to you. So how did you get it? You paid for it, yes or no? Why? Why would you pay for it? Because you like the team. You want to wear the shirt to tell the world, as if the world cares two hoots about who you support or don't support, but you believe that this is important. So you wear this shirt to show the world that I am a supporter of Arsenal, I am a supporter of Manchester United, I am a supporter of this one and that one. You want to show the world why? Because you no, I want to be associated with this. You can't play football to save your life. But you want to wear this shirt to say I'm a supporter, or whatever that supporter means. You're spending good money. That shirt was made in my country, in Tirupur, next to Coimbatore, and there it was sold by weight. Wasn't even sold. They don't even sell one by one because it is not even, they don't even give the dignity of selling it one by one. They sell it by weight. And you go and pay in dollars for it in a shop because it's got this Arsenal name on it because you think you are supporting Arsenal. Why? Because you love that, because you want to be associated with that. What is that? What is this called? This is ittiba. Somebody wears a baseball hat backwards. Why? Because that's how Michael Jordan wears it. And he walks with, he wears those sneakers and he walks with, like he's got shock absorbers in his knees. So he walks like this. And he's 4 foot nothing and Michael Jordan is like three times his height and, he walks like, because then I want to look like Mike. You can't look like Michael Jordan if you are born, if you are reborn 10 times, man. I mean, forget it. How is it going to happen? But no. It's... This is the meaning of ittiba. Ittiba is a sign of love. Ittiba is a sign of love. You don't have to be told to do it. You do it because you love. You do the ittiba of the one you love. And what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Allah says, if you want me to love you, make ittiba of the one I love. Who is that? Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. You want me to love you? Make ittiba of the one I love. Look like him, walk like him, talk like him, behave like him. And then what will happen? Allah did not leave it in doubt. Yuhibbukumullah. Allah will love you. And what is the boundary condition of Allah loving you? What is the first thing that will happen if Allah loves you? Yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wallahu ghafurur rahim. Allah will forgive your sins, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving and most merciful and most forgiving. This is the way. No shirk, fulfilling faraid, earn halal, eat halal, ittiba of sunnah. And the final thing is nawafil. You come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the nawafil, not by the faraid. Faraid are the boundary condition. Faraid are the boundary condition. Without the fard, you are not even within the framework. Whether you are a Muslim or not, whether I am a Muslim or not, itself is a matter of doubt. I won't say you are not a Muslim. Allah knows best who's what. But definitely it's a matter of doubt. If I never pray, if you never see me pray, and somebody says, Yavar Beg, is he a Muslim? You can say, well, maybe I hope so, but you know, I've never seen him pray. He never comes to the masjid, he doesn't pray Jumu'ah, he doesn't do anything. So I can't vouch for it. I can't say definitely he's a Muslim. I don't know. Wallahu a'lam, maybe his name is Muslim or something. Yes or no? But if you see me praying, then you will say, yes, I can tell you he is a Muslim. Somebody says, no, but you know, his ikhlas, does he have ikhlas? Is his salah, does he have khushu? Do you think he is connecting to Allah? You will say, look, boss, all that, don't ask me. Because whether he has khushu or no khushu, whether he has ikhlas or no ikhlas, is between him and his Rabb. All I know is I have seen him pray, alhamdulillah. So therefore, Yavar Beg is a Muslim because I have seen him pray. So I will not say, ikhlas and so on, this is between him and Allah. Allah did not put me as a judge for that to see whether his salah is good or bad. That is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave it. That's not my job. But definitely I can say he's a Muslim because the man used to pray. Boundary condition. Faraid are the boundary conditions. But once you come inside, then what? You don't want to come and stand by the door. You want to come right inside. That is the nawafil. That is the nawafil. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam the nafil before he gave him the fard. For the Nabi, the nafil was also the fard. I'm talking about tahajjud. The ayat which came, Surah Al-Muzzammil, were among the first ayat to be revealed in the first year of revelation. Fard salah came in the 12th or 13th year of revelation in Isra wal Miraj. But tahajjud came long before that. So Allah effectively gave Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam the nafil before he gave him the fard. Definitely for us the nafil came before the fard, because the nafil came at that time. For the Nabi the nafil also was fard, but effectively fard salah is what? Is our five salawat. It's not tahajjud. But Allah gave that first. Why? Because that is the means of seeking closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah said, Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, qum illayla illa qaleela, nisfahu awin qus minhu qaleela, aw zid alayhi wa rattilil qur'ana tartila. Allah said, stand in the whole night, except for a little bit. Stand the whole night. Recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a nice manner, in a beautiful way. For what? Because Allah said, I'm going to give you a very difficult job. Qawlan thaqeela. Heavy word is going to come on you. You need the strength to do that work. And where does the strength come from? It comes from Allah. So connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba did. And those who used to pray tahajjud, they prayed tahajjud all their lives as if it was fard. And that is the connection with Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was witness for them that they used to pray. Because Allah said, Inna rabbaka ya'lamu annaka taqumu adna min thuluthay al-layli wa nisfahu wa thuluthah. ونصفه وثلثه وطائفة من الذين معك والله يقدر الليل والنهار علم أن لن تحصوه فتاب عليكم فقرؤوا ما تيسر من القرآن علم أن سيكون منكم مرضى Some of you are sick. وآخرون يضربون في الأرض يبتغون من فضل الله وآخرون يقاتلون في سبيل الله فاقرؤوا ما تيسر منه وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة واقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله هو خيرا وأعظم أجرا واستغفروا الله إن الله غفور رحيم Even in all these conditions, you may be sick, you may be going around the world looking for your living, you may be even fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but stand in tahajjud. Read as much of the Quran in tahajjud as you can, whatever is easy for you. But Allah did not say leave it, no. You need it even more. Because you are engaged in work, you need success. You need success in battle, you need success in your livelihood, and you need success in your families, and so on and so forth. What must you do? Ask the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The joy of connecting with Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this tool, and Allah showed us how to connect with Him, Jalla Jalalu. And therefore, my brothers and sisters, I remind myself anew, and I want to end with that we will meet Allah. About this, there is no doubt. How to meet Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this choice. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to meet Him with the love of meeting Him. Yarjullah. We look forward to the meeting with Allah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ana inda zanni abdi bi. I am for my slave as He expects me to be. So we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu in the best of expectations. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that meeting with Him to be the best meeting of our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the dua that the man made for which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a gift. That the last of our days is the best of our days. And the last of our actions is the best of our actions. And the time and the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of my, the essence and the hasil of my entire life is the day when I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with all of you and never to be displeased. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your du'as and to protect you from every harm. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you great success in this dunya wal akhirah. We ask Allah to protect your children, your families, and your businesses, and all your activities from every form of tension, every form of difficulty that you might face. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the difficulty even before you face it. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ